Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one...
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
This is...
Who are you? I'm all Greg. Pleased to meet you.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Tick, tick, boom.
Now...
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party!
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Some of my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go!
Tick, tick, boom.
As producer Jackson just said in my ear, you look surprisingly awake for this hour. And you know what? It's mostly just because I'm so freaking excited to be back with my guy. Shime Time. That's right. Chris, Shime Time, Shime, and your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens, alongside the great, almighty, and powerful Jackson Burns, the terrestrial radio triumvirate of terror, returns for the Greg Hill Show the day after the 4th of July, BKA, best known as July 5th, 2024, right here on Boston Sports Original, 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, all across our incredible affiliates throughout New England and beyond. And of course, if you have it, you got it, you're using it. If not, what's wrong with you? The Odyssey app today. Shime, good morning. I think I figured it out. I think I finally figured
you
it out.
What did you figure out?
I got it. I think I figured out what the next great holiday tradition is.
Oh?
And that would be the 4th of July nap.
Oh, yeah. Now, those naps hit different. They're like...
They're not quite a Thanksgiving Day nap because it's not quite the same kind of tryptophan coma, but it is somewhat adjacent to that in that you stuff yourself with glizzies and dogs or glizzies and burgers and a couple IPAs. You pass out for a good hour and a half. You wake up energetic, ready to live life and get ready for, you know, whatever you're doing with your night.
So as the day was yesterday, it was up at 5 a.m. We did radio 6 to 9. And then afterwards, I'm just absolutely jacked. I'm wired from hair to toenail on caffeine and good vibes. There was a lot of went out, did a little 5K, brag.
Okay, flex.
All right. Hanging with the kids, getting ready, doing some cooking for the day. Go over to the in-laws. It's a beautiful day. Long swim with the kids, cookout, etc. I'd probably say two beers, like nothing heavy, nothing too much, but just all of a sudden around 4:30, it just all caught up to me, and I do like I think so many of us do, right around when the Cowboys game kicks off on Thanksgiving, I just got up from the table, I cleaned up my plates, I grabbed anyone else's plate that needed washing, rinsing, or loading into the dishwasher, and I just let everyone know like I need to lay down. And I went to the sofa and I sawed off maybe the best hour of sleep I have had the entire year long yesterday. And it was a belly full of, I had a burger, I had half a brat, I had half a dog, a little potato salad. And oh my God, I woke up a different man. Cut to second swim, fireworks, fire pit, a couple of evening beverages. Yeah, I'm paying for it right now. The bill has come due, but that's all right. We got 3 hours to figure out how we're going to pay for it.
Awesome. I love that for you. I also took a nap yesterday. It was glorious. I came home from this program, had a nice like mocha latte and a bagel, and then proceeded to have a wonderful, wonderful cheeseburger. And I was like, you know what? It's nap time. Took a nap right in the smack dab middle of the day. I had the Golf Channel on like a true dad. And
you don't even have kids.
Nope.
Are you allowed to watch the Golf Channel? When
yes,
you don't
of course
have kids?
I am. I'm a loser. I can do whatever I want. And so I fell asleep with the Golf Channel on, and the dog, and my girlfriend was just off doing whatever she was doing, and it was glorious. It was absolutely spectacular way to kind of stick it right in the middle of my day, so that I was fresh for the night.
Yeah, I think the 4th of July nap, you know, listen, the circumstances for one and many may be different, and a lot of other people may not be waking up hours before the sunshine, or as it just happens to be this morning, right smack dab in the teeth of a Floridian rainstorm. But the weather these days makes absolutely no sense. And that's fine. It's not for us to make any sense.
The weather on the way here, Fitzy,
yeah,
was a nightmare. I don't know. I was unprepared. I got up, I looked outside, and it looked a little like misty, like spitting a little bit. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is great. I'm going to fly to work. No big deal. No issues whatsoever. I pull out of my driveway. I get on the highway. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes later, as soon as I started getting close to Boston, it became, I thought I was going to need Noah's Ark. I felt like I was driving through a river for like 20 minutes. It was miserable. What the hell is going on? Why didn't no one warn me about this?
So did the skies literally just unzip on you?
The skies have been just opening up all morning, and it is miserable. It's awful.
This is what happens when we don't have Curtis around to give us the weather.
Yeah, but that's exactly my issue. Like I was on my way here. I'm like, oh God, I am gonna cut it so close. This is not ideal.
last week I was golfing, and this is something I had mentioned yesterday that was called a horizontal tease. I teased something yesterday that we would discuss today on the program, but that's what happens. Even though we're the fill-ins, Fitzy and Shime fill-in, as you can see it right there on Twitch, and good morning to all the Twitchers. Thank you for making us a part of your digital day. twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Shime will be monitoring the chat. Please try to keep it reasonably nice, but at the same time, you be you and do what you have to.
Yes, sir.
So last week, as I teased yesterday, I had a little bit of a golf incident, and I'll get to that later in the show. But we played one of my favorite courses on the Cape, Dennis Highlands, which is an excellent, wide-open golf course. Very favorable, fair hills all throughout. And it was two dads, two kids, and we had heard the guy warned us at 3 o'clock when we checked in to tee off. He said, radar says we might be getting something around 5, so, you know, just be on the lookout and listen for the horn. So they don't have an actual proper weather alert system that like raises up and rings horns throughout the whole course, rather just one guy that stands outside the clubhouse and blasts an air horn until everyone hears it. Well, on the sixth hole, we could see the weather was changing. By the time we got onto the seventh hole, we were only playing nine too. It went from reasonable daylight outside to it was almost pitch black, and the thunder just kept coming and coming and coming. And we hear the horn, and we know, okay, it's time to go. So we all start hustling because we have pull carts and we're walking. Because I'm a man and I'm four and I'm 50. Okay, right?
That's what the horn should sound like.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you could just play Ride of the Valkyries because you see like 100 golf carts just whizzing past us, making it to the clubhouse. Dude, it was like living in Fort Lauderdale. It went from, oh, this seems mildly temperate. Might get a little bit of a shower too. Couldn't see through it. Yep. I'd never seen it rain so hard in my entire life. And it rained that way. Yeah, no, seriously, Jackson. The golf carts, people are just like abandoning ship, just whizzing past people, casting things from the carts onto the course to lessen their weight so they could get there in time. And just watching people just try to haul ass and get out of it. It's only rain, for God's sakes. But I've never seen it rain so hard in my life. It's kind of refreshing, but at the same time, not optimal for making it to work the day after you, you know, guzzle down glizzies, beers, and burgers, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'm glad you survived that encounter.
Still here.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. You know what? That's key because we need to do a wonderful show today for the people. Not just for the radio people either, the Twitch people. So shout out to them.
Yes. Well, we have a wonderful show planned for them as well. And we will begin today's program with something relevant and near and dear to everyone's heart. That would be a tweet. And this was this came through last night. And let's see, the time of this tweet was 8:52 p.m. on July 4th, 2024. Fireworks might be the most overrated thing in existence. Ooh, bright lights, whoop-dee-doo, tweeted at Shime Time.
Yep, that'd be me yesterday evening.
I was about to say, that's not a, I didn't hear the first part of that, but that's not something that Fitzy would say. Fitzy, you love fireworks, right?
I am a simple man with simple pleasures.
Me too.
Complex as I try to make things, much to my own detriment, sometimes to other people's benefit. Yes, I am a pretty simple man. I like simple pleasures and simple things. And it seems, Christopher, as I quote tweeted it, using it as a little bit of a teaser for this morning's program, we have an immediately polarized view of your tweet. The first reply from at Quizzle Time, I couldn't agree more, with a gif of John Krasinski.
Shout
from
out
SNL.
To Quizzle.
Okay. Next person, at Sean Dinwoody, at S Dinwoody 88, go touch grass, they are fun.
They're not fun.
Moore,
what is fun about just things blowing up in the sky? Nothing.
Awesome. It brings me back to my childhood immediately.
Especially when you aren't going to a fireworks show, they're even worse because you're just sitting out on your back deck and all of a sudden one goes off behind the house that you don't see coming and it sounds like a bomb went off and you jump and it's miserable. It's terrible. It scares every dog on the 90% of the dogs on the planet, and it is just, it's, fireworks are the worst. They're stupid.
Okay. See, that's the thing. I think we're kind of missing the point here. It's sort of like when I invariably light $50 on fire this weekend to go with my two kids and then get candy and popcorn to see the new Minions movie, a.k.a. Despicable Me 4, which is not trending well on Roddy T's, by the way.
Ooh, tough.
And that's a disappointment, too, because the original Minions movie and the first three Despicable Me's were good. Minions: The Rise of Gru was an absolute blank show. Just horrendous, horrendous film.
But they keep pumping them out, those
and
Minions.
They do, because they make money, because they're Minions, and they're adorable, and they're so dumb. Banana! So when I invariably light that money on fire this weekend, I'm going to realize, and as I already do, that movie is not made for me. And you know, my job there is to just basically shepherd my children to the theatre, provide them what they want, tolerate it, and then make sure that they use the restroom, wash their hands, and then shepherd them and bring them back home. That's the whole entire point of that expedition. Just like with fireworks, they're not really for us. They're mostly for kids. And now you could also say, well, then they should do them earlier. Fireworks don't really look the same during the day. You got to wait till nighttime. I did not go to a fireworks show last night. However, five towns surrounding me had fireworks going off all night. And same. It was kind of fun to sit on the back deck with a fire pit, evening beverage in hand. The kids were looking this way, over that way. We did a few fireworks in the yard ourselves. They enjoy the ambiance. They can't wait to find the next one and where it's coming from. They're not for us, Shime. Just like at Bob Logs 80014. Have some fun, angry little man. It's the 4th. It's our nation's birthday.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. I recognize that. But like, then why does it need to impact me? If it's for all the kids, I don't have kids. I'm not with people who have kids. Why then do they have to affect me? You going to the movies doesn't affect me. Whether you like it or not, I don't really give a rat's behind. But because there's
But I just
loud,
took up a minute of your life talking about
because
it.
Because there's hydrogen bombs going off in the sky, I have to deal with it. I have to deal with the fallout of it. My dog is shaking and crapping everywhere because he doesn't know what the hell is going on. I have to drug him up to high heaven. And like, it's just it's a nightmare. It's stupid. And we do them all the time. Like, there's, especially during the summer, there's certain places that do them like every weekend. Like, stop. They're not that cool. Do them like once a year on 4th of July. And then they become cool. Then they become a novelty. But when you're doing them all the time, all summer, just because they're pretty lights in the sky, like, it becomes useless.
At RE with Maddie J. Fat guys momentarily losing weight and becoming D-bags, probably more overrated.
Nope.
See, fat Shime like fireworks?
Shime has always hated fireworks.
He even was willing to speak in third person about it. He dislikes them that much. Yep. Look, I agree with you to a certain extent.
I always went to a fireworks show for the fried dough, not for the fireworks.
Yeah, I actually like going mostly just because I like consuming entertainment out of doors, and I always like if you have a fireworks show, whatever awesome lousy cover band is in the area, you know, like a lot of the fireworks shows I've been to, you'll just get like Patty J and the Whiskers, and they're doing like Once Bitten Twice Shy and a bunch of other songs you recognize, and they're absolutely terrible, but you love it. And then you're also just like, you know, sneaking in a Bev, rifling down a box of Cheez-Its, and then the show began. I'm just saying, I understand. I think a lot of people agree with you. I think a lot of people don't necessarily want to agree with you publicly.
Yep.
Because then it comes across as, you know, like, why do you hate freedom? Why do you hate America? Like,
I love everything about 4th of July outside of the fireworks.
We're all not Francis Scott Key. We're all not sitting there with our phone on GarageBand writing the nation's next anthem. We don't need the ambiance of explosives, a bunch of bombs in the air. Side note, by the way, in considering what is the greatest cover of our nation's anthem, I know some people say Marvin Gaye's version at the NBA All-Star Game. Most people default to Whitney Houston, and of course, in that incredible one from the Super Bowl in 1991. I like to think that it's Leslie Nielsen as Frank Drebin and the Naked Gun that may be our nation's finest cover of the national anthem.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what? My national anthem is Drunk Brett Hull singing Gloria at the Blues Parade in 2019. That's my national anthem.
Oh, but that's so triggering for Boston. How can you hear that? That's a worse take than the fireworks take.
Those are the best drops of all time, Fitzy. He just starts screaming, Gloria! It's the greatest moment of my life. It's amazing. That's my national anthem.
It was memorable, but the problem was I was so bummed out, like so many, that the Bruins blew that opportunity to bring another cup
back
home.
Have to find joy in the little things.
I tried, but the problem was Gloria up to that moment had been one of my all-time favorite 80s songs.
Didn't Glenn go to like high school with her or something?
Wait, Big O went to high school with Laura Branigan?
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Laura Branigan, RIP.
That was a rumor that was going around the station at the time. I believe that was the case.
I may have to text. Well, he's in Arizona. I don't want to wake him up right now, but I may have to text Big O and see if I can get an answer before the end of the show. Did the Big O go to high school with Laura Branigan? And was he the inspiration for her sexually driven hit, Self Control?
Oh, wow. Definitely. Whether they went to school together or not, that was definitely a yes.
All right, and there is your soft opening to today's program. As always, we'll hit you with the hardcore sports and more coming back in just a couple of minutes. You know how to get in touch with us. He's at Shime Time. I'm at Fitzy GFY, and you are listening to The Greg Hill Show with Fitzy and Shime on at WEEI 37937 for all of your textual healing. And of course, 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When we come back, the Red Sox won again, and there's a new hot dog eating champion. So much to discuss here on The Greg Hill Show. show on Boston Sports Original. But first, let's catch you up on everything else trending in the wide world of sports with Chime Time.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Played this, Jackson. I feel like your internal musical algorithm kind of understands exactly what we need whenever Shime and I are the holiday fill-ins here on EEI, because yesterday I was going to ask if maybe you would play a little Cult, but the song I was going to ask for was the other song people always think of whenever
She Sells Sanctuary.
Of course.
Yes.
And so I asked this very, very important, pressing question. Between Firewoman and She Sells Sanctuary, what do you think is the better song?
I think Firewoman all the way, because of that badass buildup right there. But the,
yeah, Firewoman, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But the that main riff for She Sells Sanctuary is legendary and awesome and great song too. But this one just fires me up.
Are we even allowed to say Firewoman anymore? Do we have to
fire person?
Fire person. I ask dumb questions at this hour. I'm having a good time. Good morning, everybody. It's Fitzy and Chaim here for the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Original, 93.7 FM, WEEI, and WEEI.com. Good morning to Twitch, twitch.tv/Boston.
Hello.
WEEI. Hello, everybody. We are here. We're having fun. And yes, to the people that were clapping at us on the X platform, formerly known as Twitter, the Twix. How come WEEI is playing a best of, and yet you guys could do live radio on the 4th of July? We were best of till 7. It was just a little bit of a programming alteration. We were allowed the extra hour of sleep today, but we're with you till 10. We've got original programming, Red Sox baseball, all day for you as well. Actually, somebody that was clapping at you over your fireworks tweet came at me for saying how I think Jaren Duran needs to be in the All-Star game as well. Another big play from him last night as well.
What a throw.
Yeah, he's so freaking. So if you're unfamiliar, folks, the Red Sox did complete the sweep last night. What was the final score against Chaim? 6-5?
6-5 in 12 innings.
Okay, so it went 12. Nick Pivetta was absolutely dealing from the bump yesterday as well. Unfortunately, the game gets tied up. Sox have a chance to win it in extra innings early. They don't. They get the lead, and the Marlins have a chance to take the dub. And then Duran throws an absolute missile, just a beautiful throw from Duran to make the play to end the game in 12. And the Red Sox, who earlier in the season, Chaim, would have been the team that, you know, lost that game. And you would have said, well, the season, you know, they won the series. They took 2 out of 3 from a lousy team. They weren't away. They were away. They weren't at Fenway. So they got the job done. I can't really chide them for this. Like, no. If you want to make hay and once again put pressure on ownership to make a play for you by the trade deadline, if you want to hang in there for the third, second, whatever wild card spot you're pursuing, you need to sweep a series from the second worst team in baseball. Like the Marlins stink. In Chaim speak, the Marlins stink so bad they smell. They're picnic trash. Raccoons would be afraid to rifle through a bag of the Miami Marlins. They are disgusting. Only a brown bear would eat them if he found them left out after an afternoon in the woods.
And he'd have to be starving.
They are absolute garbage. And the Red Sox were going to find a way to sox it up 2024 style. But then guys like Duran that are having all-star seasons
just slam the door shut right in the face of the Miami Marlins. And they're like, nope, don't worry. We're not going to lose this one. We're going to get into extras here, and we're going to win it in 12 innings.
I'm telling you, this kid is something special. And as I was saying yesterday, I love him for the great plays. I love him for the fact that he does a little bit of everything. And, you know, the fact that he's like, they actually have a role model. They have a star now. They have a role model. I'm watching the throw again. Here he comes up the gut in center. The guy's rounding third. And here comes just oh my God. It's such a freaking good throw because
it was there so early too. Like McGuire had all the time in the world to get the ball, position himself in front of home plate so that the runner had no shot of tagging the base.
And the best part was, it bounces after with the heat on it as he just absolutely rifles it from mid-center. It takes that little bounce that sends the throw just up the third base line, so the catcher literally doesn't even have to turn around. It was right there for the tag. Perfect throw. This kid is legit. Like, did you ever think at one point, Chaim, that the Red Sox would have, as we had heard for years, like, oh, watch out when Marcelo Mejia comes up. This kid's going to be the real deal. He's the reason why they didn't keep the X-Man. Bogarts got let go because they knew Mejia was going to be the truth one day. Like, there's so much pressure on that kid to come up and be, you know, a combination of Nomar, Jeter, and A-Rod. I just hope he can make it to the majors and be a productive player. I can't imagine that he's going to be the centerpiece around which the next, you know, great version of the Red Sox will be built. And who knows what Teal is going to be? He's not going to be Rutschman, but he's probably going to be pretty darn good. Anthony could be great. There's a lot of guys that may come up and contribute. I think you have your star player now to build around in Jaren Duran. And funny guys on Twitter are like, oh, wow, guy might have 20 home runs by the end of the season. He's the first player to ever have 100 hits, 20 stolen bases, 10 home runs. What was it, 10 triples?
Doubles.
And 20 doubles. He's the first person to ever do that by the All-Star break. If that's not impressive enough for you, if what the Red Sox are doing in the face of their ownership, kind of basically defying the fans' wants and wishes and not going out and getting somebody else for them, then tough. Maybe we do. Maybe we as fans do need to recalibrate our expectations, as ownership told you guys on the Greg Hill Show.
Yeah, but like you shouldn't have to, right? Like you look at this team and you look at it's like, all right, cool. We have Jaren Duran, clear piece of the future and excellent player right now. You have a guy like Rafael Devers who mashes the baseball, like clear piece in your lineup, good to go. And you have other guys that are contributing in ways that you didn't expect. Like Connor Wong is hitting like 325. Like, well, who expected Connor Wong to hit 325? Nobody. But they're overachieving. And then you look at the pitching staff. I mean, Pivetta last night, 7 innings, 10 Ks. The guy was dealing last night. And you're getting that from your starting pitching constantly. I mean, Tanner Houck could theoretically, like, if he had won more games, especially early on in the season, I think he started the season like 1-4 or 1-5. If some of those had been just wins or no decisions and his record looked better, Tanner Houck could be a Cy Young candidate. When he pitches, he is absolutely dealing. And so I just look at this team and you see so many spots where it's like, wow, there's a lot of promise here. But unfortunately, it's going to require ownership to invest in this team for them to make any kind of push in the playoffs. Like there's pieces here, but again, there's still like a lot of role players, like the David Hamiltons of the world and the William Abreus and like all these guys that are just kind of filling in when you need actual like studs at times. And so, you know, the Tyler O'Neills of the world are great and they're mashing dingers for you and stuff like that, but they're role players. They're not going to be future pieces. And so you need to go out and you need to acquire more talent, more veteran leadership in order to help this team get over the hump. Like it's clear to me that this team, go get them a pitcher, go get them a good right-handed bat and like let them cook. This team is ready to go. They're ready to rock. I think Cora has them all in the right mindset, in the right frame of mind. This team wants to win. They want to prove people wrong, and they can. They have the ability. They have the athleticism, but they need just like a little bit of help. We're not asking for the world. I'm not demanding you go get Pete Alonso, even though I would love it. Like we need a. That. Go get me a right-handed bat. Go get me a legitimate pitcher, whether it's in the bullpen or in the starting rotation so you can kick somebody back into the bullpen, whatever. But just, like, go get me legit players that you can add to this roster.
Okay, so things are lined up for the Red Sox to be able to take a couple from the Yankees and then head into the final week of the season before you get the All-Star break next week quite nicely. You got Houck versus Cortez tonight. Tomorrow's Winkowski versus Cole. And then on Sunday, it's Cutter Crawford versus Luis Gil. I'd just like to point out, at no point during the preseason, at no point during spring training, at no point early on in the season, did anyone ever think the Red Sox would be sending Tanner Houck, who many had argued should have remained in the bullpen but was forced into the starting rotation, would become the ace of the staff. Now, granted, he got knocked around the ballpark last start, but he's 7-6 with a 2.67 ERA. And that the Red Sox would also be bringing two other starters. Most of the rest of the league would go, huh? Whenever you mention their name. And most people still think, are they openers? Are they long guys? Winkowski is 2-1 with a 2.8 ERA. Cutter Crawford, he's 4-7, the beneficiary of some bad decisions or just not enough run support. He's got a 3.47 ERA. So basically, Shime, right now, the Red Sox are bringing in three starters who have an aggregate like 2.9 ERA into Yankee Stadium. The Yankees have been stumbling recently. The Sox are hot because now they did exactly what they needed to do, taking advantage and sweeping the trash Marlins. Yes, I know that they split with Toronto and they had a rainout and then they lost 2 out of 3 and two of those games were pretty much non-competitive against the Padres last week. But you know what? 4 in a row is a nice way to head into the weekend. Go down to New York, win 2 out of 3 this weekend. Eventually, the din is going to be loud enough that ownership is going to have to make a move for you. Now, if that din does get loud enough and ownership realizes, hey, you know what? These guys, they're pretty good. Maybe we should go get them something. If you are that ownership group and you go get those Red Sox, that's something. And no, it's not. Oh, look, you're getting Tanner. You're getting... You're getting your first baseman back. Oh, look at them. Maybe the reinforcements are coming from within. It'd be great to get Casas back. But if you're going to go out to market and get something, Shime, are you getting a starter or a power right-handed bat?
If I have to get one, I'm probably... I'm probably going to get the bat. I think right now they need more help in the lineup than they do pitching. Like, the pitchers have overachieved. And unfortunately, though, I can hope that that will continue. But I want to get something that I know is sustainable, and that's just mashing. If I can mash, I can compete with anybody, especially come playoff time. And in the playoffs, you need less pitchers. It's just a matter of getting from the trade deadline to the playoffs with healthy pitchers, I think, at that point, right? Like, yeah. I think to me, the most important thing is that right-handed bat.
Yeah, that's what I've been opining for. Keith and I have been going back and forth on this for a while. I think he still wants a right-handed arm or a plus-level starter. Just to make sure, because at one point or another, who knows? I mean, everybody that has picked up a baseball and thrown it this season for the Red Sox has invariably landed on the injured list. And so it's only going to be a matter of time. And, you know, you lose guys like Garrett Whitlock for the season. Everyone's going to have their bumps and their bruises. You did get a decent start out of Bayo the other night, which was nice because he's been scuffling. He had a 5.5 ERA going into the start.
They pushed him back a little bit, and I think that helped get him on track, which would be nice.
Right, exactly. And I think a lot of their pitchers are probably thinking, like, all right, I just got to get two more starts in, then I'll get a couple of days off at the All-Star break. I'd like to see Jaron Duran on the All-Star team, mostly because I think he deserves the national acclaim and a spotlight for his multi-tool talents. Otherwise, I don't need anyone else from the Red Sox on the All-Star team. I would love everyone else to take a couple of days off and get ready for a second half push.
Yeah, and great tweet from our guy Joe Weil, who will have you for the pregame today at 6:05. The last 19 games, Sox 14-5, Yankees 5-14. So in less than a month, you have grabbed 6.5 games on the New York Yankees in the standings. Like, you can really do some damage this weekend and push them farther down. Like, they are kind of fumbling the bag right now. They're really reeling. Baltimore has taken off, which I don't expect you to catch Baltimore, but you can really punish the Yankees this weekend and give yourselves a legitimate fighting chance. I think if you take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees this weekend, like, ownership has to do something. I'm not saying, again, I don't think it's a Pete Alonso move or anything of that caliber, but they have to do something, right? If you show you can go out and beat down the Yankees and you're like, look, we're the second best team in the division. We can easily secure a wild card spot. I feel like you almost force ownership's hand. And that's exactly what you need to do at this point, because if you don't force their hand, they have shown you, at least in the last couple seasons, that, if we're borderline, we're not going to make a move. And you need to show them that they have to make a move.
So right now, yeah, Boston Red Sox are 47-39, 8 games above 500. Even if they lose out the rest of the way, the worst they could be is if they were to go 0 for their next 9, the worst they would be is 1 game under 500 heading into the All-Star break. Spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure that's not the way things are going to shake out.
I would hope not.
Let's say they go 5-4 over the last 9 heading into the ASB. That would put them at 52-43. None among us, not your Brad Foes, not your eternally optimistic Merlonies, nobody, everybody that says baseball isn't boring, the Joe Wiles of the world, Will Fleming, Castiglione, nobody would have told you that this team had the chance to be 9, 10, even 11 games over 500 heading into the All-Star break. The Yankees are 2-8 in their last 10, Sox 7-3 over their last 10 as well. And here's what else lines up nicely for the Sox. No, we're not looking for the renewing of rivalries, everybody. It's not going to be like, yeah, New York versus Boston is back this weekend. However, it would be nice to take a hot, steamy one on the Bronx this weekend and piss off some Yankees fans, because they're 2-8, Sox are 7-3. And what lines up nicely, Scheim, in addition to the pitching matchups for the Red Sox, is the Sox are a much better road team than they are a home team, and the Yankees are a much worse home team than they are a road team. Sox are 27-16 away from friendly Fenway, and the Yankees are 24-17 at home. Okay, they're a winning team, but they're 30-18 on the road. So, again, like, this is everything. If you're a Sox fan, if you're like myself, just begging for this team to be relevant and interesting, not just because we are the flagship station for the Boston Red Sox on WEEI, at least in the frequency modulated capacity. If you're looking for some good companion radio, if you're looking for something to cheer on as we still stand 3 weeks away from Pat's camp in the haze and the confetti-filled aftermath at the TD Garden and throughout the streets of Boston after the Celtics won, if you're just looking for something to focus on and something to root for the next couple of months, it's staring you in the face, people. Ownership, please buy into this team. Everybody wants it.
Yeah, and you can really kind of muck things up for the Yankees here, too. They're already reeling, and so if you were able to take two out of three this weekend, then they draw a three-game series with Tampa, and then a three-game series with Baltimore prior to the All-Star break. And Baltimore, as we pointed out, is kicking ass. And so to see them beat down on the Yankees as well, you have an opportunity to really kind of screw things up for them where they were off to such a hot start. And that would just open more doors for you here for possible wild card entries.
That Baltimore team, man, you know, the same,
they're a lot of fun.
They are a ton of fun. The same way that the Rays, who sit behind the Red Sox, they are 44-43. I don't think this is going to be one of those Rays years. I don't think you're actually going to see the similar push. Like, Bills come due a little bit, number one, and number two, they've had some injuries, and their pitching staff isn't the same as it was as well.
But it's also, as fun as that Orioles team is, it's also like a cautionary tale. Like, if you're the Red Sox, don't try to emulate yourself after a team like Baltimore. They had to lose for, what, like 20 years in order to get all these high draft picks and actually hit on the right guys and then bring them up and have them all on the team at the same time. Like, that doesn't happen all the time. It happens every once in a while. It happened for the Rays back in the mid to late 2000s there, like in that 07, 08 range where like Price was coming up and they had like a lot of young, cheap players that were homegrown and they could kind of supply that. But then they fall off, and that's going to happen because they don't want to pay these guys, and that will eventually happen to Baltimore where they don't want to end up paying. So for the love of God, don't just try to emulate yourself after Baltimore. That's all I ask.
Yeah, I don't want to go through the two decades of absolute
misery.
Stank. No, and the Rays had to do the same thing until eventually they stockpiled enough first round picks that things kicked in, and then they've been good for a long time. But they never were able to get a full World Series win out of it. Yeah, they made it to the playoffs a number of times, and they were a thorn in the side of many teams in the American League, but they haven't won. Now Baltimore is here to stay, I feel. And that sweep last year in the playoffs where they just got taken out 1-2-3 was a surprise for everyone. But maybe that was the postseason experience. Like, they needed to get spanked once or twice, fall down and skin their knee before they figure out and teach themselves how to learn. Like, that team's a wagon, and they're going to be here for a while. I don't think any of us are like, oh, it's World Series or bust. I need another duck.
No.
Boat. I just want to see the Red Sox make the postseason. I want to see these kids teach themselves how to win. So that and like you mentioned earlier, great point. Bring in one more veteran that can, you know, God, I still hate the fact that they let Justin Turner go. God, like,
yeah, but that guy's available again. Like, if you decide, oh, you know what, that was a mistake, we let him go, you could probably go get him from Toronto. Toronto is going to sell the house. You could get him on the cheap if you really, but it's guys like that that you need to inject into this locker room where it's like, all right, pretty good right-handed bat, a lot of veteran leadership, the right attitude. That's exactly what we need in this locker room.
Do the Sox go back locker room clubhouse group where guys get naked and talk about sports together? It's fine. Take showers. It's fine. Do you go back and get Justin Turner? That was a great point. I think, like, if he's available and the Blue Jays are like, yeah, well, fine, just take this salary off our hands. Just give us a little something. Like, he's not going to cost you one of the prospects that Breslow and company do not want to divest themselves of. So that'd be interesting. What do you guys think? Should the Red Sox make a trade? Would you rather they get a right-handed arm, or would you rather they get a right-handed bat? And could Justin Turner be the answer? 617-779-7937. If you want to talk some Sox from now until 10 a.m. while Shime and I have you. When we come back, we'll get to yesterday's big sporting event, as well as ask the question of questions right now. What do you want to see out of your second half of the Boston sports year? We saw the Celtics deliver on their potential finally, and so the first half of the Boston sports year was a massive success. What do you want to see in the second half of the year? Shime and I will discuss it, as well as get into some Patriots talk in the 8 o'clock hour. Maybe talk a little Olympics later on. And then, of course, the show will invariably fall off the rails just before 10 a.m.
Always.
You're listening to Fitzy and Shime filling in for the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Tough 10 seconds to go, but I think Pat Bertoletti's about to have a Coke and a smile here at Nathan's Famous.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, put down your hot dog!
personal best for Pat Bertolini out here in Coney Island.
That's right. We have a new champion, ladies and gentlemen. Bow down before the champ. As Joey Chestnut, who was banned from the 2024 Hot Dog Eating Contest because of his endorsement deal with Impossible Dogs. Let's see, who did he lose to? He was not allowed to compete, and so now our new champion is Patrick Bertoletti.
Did you see Pat Bertoletti's nickname?
What is his nickname?
His name is Pat Deep Dish Bertoletti.
And that would be because, and I was going to say, is there a more appropriate place for a new hot dog eating champion to come from than the unofficial glizzy capital of America, Chicago, Illinois?
Chicago!
Patrick Bertoletti upset local champion and legend Jeffrey Esper of Oxford, Massachusetts, who was the betting favorite going into yesterday.
Correct.
Esper last year downed 49 and a half hot dogs, which was absolutely just trumped by the long reigning champion, the GOAT of competitive eating, Joey Chestnut last year. Bertoletti surprises Esper, who eats a personal best 53 hot dogs. Patrick Bertoletti, 58 hot dogs, which is just an absolute abomination of humanity. He becomes your new champion as well. And Chime, did you or did you not, as we discussed the hot dog eating competition yesterday for a couple minutes, did you or did you not, sir, and if you want to take a small victory lap, this is your time, did you or did you not give the people a way to make money off the hot dog eating contest yesterday?
Sure did. I said Jeffrey Esper and Miki Sudo to eat over 89 and a half hot dogs. Combined, they ate 104. So we easily cleared that number, which was chef's kiss.
Yeah, and that was a minus 115, so you still Correct. Had to bet $1.15 to win a dollar. Still, that being said, if you threw a couple bucks down on that yesterday, your pockets are deeper, fatter, and richer today, thanks to Chime Time.
You're welcome.
See, again, you're welcome. So how many did she eat yesterday?
53.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's a personal best. Like, I was looking for her to be somewhere in the 40s, and I'm like, all right, you should hit this number. If she gets into the 40s, you're fine. But she ended up eating 53, which I think broke her personal best by almost like 10 hot dogs or something.
Oh, my God. I have never been more turned on in my entire life.
Oh, God, Fitzy. Keep it in your pants.
How much did she win by?
I don't know.
I'm imagining.
I would assume so. She dominates every year. She was a minus 900 favorite for a reason.
Yeah. That is an insane amount of hot dogs for anyone to eat. I can't watch it. I'll be honest. Even though it's on TV the only live sport, I just can't. Like, I think everyone wants to say, like, it's going to be amazing. It's so fun. It's so ridiculous. It's so silly. By the time you get three dogs in, you know what it is? It's the dipping of the bun in the water. I can't do it. It's just a harsh. It's not even that you have to shove in your mouth.
God.
And listen, I understand you're basically
it's like eating gruel every day.
It's absolute mush. It's just freaking filthy. But it does beg the question: if you had to, in any way, shape, or form, competitively eat against a friend, for fun, if there was something you were pretty confident. Whether there was money on the line, a local contest, or you're just half in the bag and just laying down because, you know, you're the beer diet champion of Northeast Massachusetts. So
damn right.
Why wouldn't a guy like you take this kind of chance? What is the one thing you're confident you could competitively eat or at least acquit yourself well in a court of gluttony?
So there's a few things. I would say
I have one clear favorite for me, and that'd be lasagna. I feel like I can
house
like pounds of lasagna.
Okay, that's interesting. I like that. I like that. That's unique, Jackson. I think that would be a good niche for you.
Well, thank you.
I like that. I would say
that's
for me.
That's a classic example of like, I love that for you.
Yeah, I love that for you. Not necessarily for me, but I love that for you. I would say there's a couple of different ways I could go. Like Swiss roll, like the Swiss cake rolls, like the Little Debbie ones. I would dominate just about any fool in that. But then I would also say I could easily competitively eat when it comes to like chicken fingers or chicken nuggets. I would slam.
I think I could go toe to toe. Not in the full tender or the finger. And by the way, there is no such thing as a boneless wing. I will sit here. I will spend the next 2 hours if somebody tries to convince me that a boneless wing is a thing. It is not.
You and Greg are going to get in a fight.
It's a new way to rebrand a tender. Won't be the first time, won't be the last.
I love a good tender, though.
It's a chicken tender. It's a chicken finger. It's not a boneless wing. There is no such thing. A wing has to have bones. That's just how it works. Cartilage, whatever. That's just the way it works. You cannot argue with science as much as people in our stupid new America love to do so all the time.
Oh,
you
I could what? Also beat down on some fools in dumplings.
Dumplings. Best dumpling.
What do you mean? Like best kind of dumpling? Best place to get dumplings? What are we talking?
No. Not the best place to get dumpling. What's your favorite? Like, are we talking pork steam, pork fry, veggie?
Pork fry.
Yeah.
Pan fried dumplings are dynamite. I do love a good, like, soup dumpling, though. Like one of those bows. Oh, God. I would. Anything with, like, a light amount of dough with meat in it, game over. Game over.
Have you had a good pierogi before?
Yeah, of course I have. Again, anything with a light amount of dough and a ton of meat filling, yeah, I can slam a million of them.
A pierogi might be one of the best foods ever. Pierogies are fantastic.
Yeah, the pierogi, you're like Peking Ravs. They're very similar, and they're both delightful.
Pierogies are, like, if you ever find that one of your local sports teams is on the road in Cleveland, the best reason to go, aside from the fact that it's not a long trip and it's a reasonably affordable city, just go, that's all they eat. They eat so well in Cleveland, mostly because in the Midwest, pierogies are available on a regular basis. I think pierogies are like the most underrated finger food in America. They're so damn good.
They're so tasty.
And why don't we stuff more things with caramelized onions? I think these are the questions that people demand answered the day after the 4th of July.
It's crazy. I've never been a big onions guy. Unless you caramelize them, then I'm all in. Like, I can't, like, raw onion, take it or leave it. It's fine. Whatever. Like, if it's on something, like on a sandwich or something, fine, I'll eat it, but it's not my favorite. I won't go find them. But caramelized onions, add it to everything. I'm so in.
And did you know that the most popular kind of pierogi in America right now, America and Poland is the Ruski pierogi.
Ruski? What's that?
Yes. I have no idea.
Okay.
Let's see. It's ground meat, mushrooms, and cabbage.
Interesting. I'm a big cabbage guy. I like that. I'm into that.
A huge cabbage guy over here as well. Had no idea we were going to end up discussing pierogies, but I could talk
bread-filled meat products or meat-filled bread products for hours.
Okay, then I'm going to have to ask you this before we go to break. Have you ever heard of a runza?
A runza? No. What is this?
You have. Okay, so it's a popular restaurant chain. Once again, Things that fly over country to the coastal elites.
I think you've mentioned this to me before.
We did. I think we discussed this once.
Is this like a sub shop place almost?
When it was you and me and Keefe in the mid days, and it was called Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, but it was basically, you know, it was what it was. We one time
Dale
randomly,
here.
Thank you, Dale. Happy 4th, happy 5th, Dale. We were discussing like popular regional fast food places.
Yeah. Yep.
The Runza came up and I was like,
talk to me, daddy.
These
look awesome.
It's the, every kind of regional food from around America and around the world has opened up as a boutique shop in New York or Boston or Philadelphia. How come nobody has brought the Runza to the Northeast? So a Runza is basically, as it is described, is it a Nebraska thing?
I'm sending a picture of it to Brian so he can put it up on our Twitch, but it is a yeast dough bread pocket with a filling consisting of beef, cabbage, or sauerkraut, onions, and seasoning.
It can be baked into various shapes, such as a half moon, a rectangle, a bun, a square, a triangle. Yeah, apparently this is what everybody eats in the Midwest.
Yeah, this is like the greatest thing on the planet. And this is so Midwest it hurts. Like it's just bread and meat and a couple of veggies incorporated into the meat. It's a German steak.
Right now on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI if you need to have an 8 a.m. food gasm.
It's a German steak and cheese.
Yes, it's exactly
that's exactly what it is. It's a German steak and cheese.
Oh
and
my
it,
God.
It sounds delightful.
It's basically if a steak and cheese in a pierogi had a one-night affair And then and then 9 months later, out came the Runza.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That may give me the Runza, but I would 100%.
It was me who avoided the obvious joke the entire time, and you had to go there right before break.
Always.
Right. You know what? Apologize for nothing, because you're filling in for the Greg Hill Show on EEI.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Tough 10 seconds to go, but I think Pappardelletti's about to have a Coke and a smile here at Nathan's Famous.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, put down your hot dog!
A personal best for Pappardelletti out here in Coney Island.
That's right. We have a new champion, ladies and gentlemen. Bow down before the champ. As Joey Chestnut, who was banned from the 2024 Hot Dog Eating Contest because of his endorsement deal with Impossible Dogs. Let's see, who did he lose to? He was not allowed to compete, and so now our new champion is Patrick Bertoletti.
Did you see Bertoletti's nickname?
What is his nickname?
His name is Pat Deep Dish Bertoletti.
And that would be because, and I was going to say, is there a more appropriate place for a new hot dog eating champion to come from than the unofficial glizzy capital of America, Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago.
Patrick Bertoletti upset local champion and legend Jeffrey Esper of Oxford, Massachusetts, who was the betting favorite going into yesterday.
Correct.
Esper last year downed 49.5 hot dogs, which was absolutely just trumped by the long-reigning champion, the GOAT of competitive eating, Joey Chestnut, last year. Bertoletti surprises Esper, who eats a personal best 53 hot dogs. Patrick Bertoletti, 58 hot dogs, which is just an absolute abomination of humanity. He becomes your new champion as well. And Chime, did you or did you not, as we discussed the hot dog eating competition yesterday for a couple minutes, did you or did you not, sir, and if you want to take a small victory lap, this is your time, did you or did you not give the people a way to make money off the hot dog eating contest yesterday?
Sure did. I said Jeffrey Esper and Miki Sudo to eat over 89.5 hot dogs. Combined, they ate 104. So we easily cleared that number, which was chef's kiss.
Yeah, and that was a minus 115, so you still had to bet $1.15 to win a dollar. Still, that being said, if you threw a couple bucks down on that yesterday, your pockets are deeper, fatter, and richer today, thanks to Chime Time.
You're welcome.
See, again, you're welcome. So how many did she eat yesterday?
53.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's a personal best. Like, I was looking for her to be somewhere in the 40s, and I'm like, all right, you should hit this number. If she gets into the 40s, you're fine. But she ended up eating 53, which I think broke her personal best by almost like 10 hot dogs or something.
Oh, my God. I have never been more turned on in my entire life.
Oh, God, Fitzy. Keep it in your pants.
How much did she win by?
I don't know.
A lot, I'm imagining.
I would assume so. She dominates every year. She was a minus 900 favorite for a reason.
Yeah. That is an insane amount of hot dogs for anyone to eat. I can't watch it. I'll be honest. Even though it's on TV and it's the only live sport, I just can't. Like, I think everyone wants to say, like, ah, oh, it's going to be amazing. It's so fun. It's so ridiculous. It's so silly. By the time you get three dogs in, you know what it is? It's the dipping of the butt in the water. I can't do it. It's just a horror show. It's not even that it's that you have to just shove in your mouth.
God.
And listen, I understand you're basically
like eating gruel every day.
It's absolute mush. It is just freaking filthy. But it does beg the question, if you had to, in any way, shape, or form, competitively eat against a friend for fun, if there was something you were pretty confident, whether there was money on the line, a local contest, or you're just half in the bag and just laying down because, you know, you're the beer diet champion of Northeast Massachusetts. So
damn right.
Why wouldn't a guy like you take this kind of chance? What is the one thing you're confident you could competitively eat, or at least acquit yourself well in a court of gluttony?
So there's a few things. I would say
I have one clear favorite for me, and that'd be lasagna. I feel like I can
house
like pounds of lasagna.
Okay, that's interesting. I like that. I like that. That's unique, Jackson. I think that would be a good niche for you.
Well, thank you.
I like that. I would say
that's a classic example of like, I love that for you.
Yeah, I love that for you. Not necessarily for me, but I love that for you. I would say there's a couple of different ways I could go. Like Swiss roll, like the Swiss cake rolls, like the Little Debbie ones. I would dominate just about any fool in that. But then I would also say I could easily competitively eat when it comes to like chicken fingers or chicken nuggets. I would slam.
I think I could go toe to toe. Not in the full tender or the finger. And by the way, there is no such thing as a boneless wing. I will sit here. I will spend the next 2 hours. If somebody tries to convince me that a boneless wing is a thing, it is not.
You and Greg are going to get in a fight.
It's a new way to rebrand a tender. Won't be the first time, won't be the last.
I love a good tender, though.
It's a chicken tender. It's a chicken finger. It's not a boneless wing. There is no such thing. A wing has to have bones. That's just how it works. Cartilage, whatever. That's just the way it works. You cannot argue with science as much as people in our stupid new America love to do so all the time.
Oh, I could also beat down on some fools in dumplings.
Dumplings. Best dumpling.
What do you mean? Like best kind of dumpling? Best place to get dumplings? What are we talking?
No, not the best place to get dumpling. What's your favorite? Like, are we talking pork steam, pork fry, veggie?
Pork fry.
Yeah.
Pan fried dumplings are dynamite. I do love a good like soup dumpling though. Almost like a bao. Like one of those baos. Oh God, I would anything with like a light amount of dough with meat in it. Game over.
Have you
game over?
Have you had a good pierogi before?
Have I had a good? Yeah, of course I have. Again, anything with a light amount of dough and a ton of meat filling, yeah, I can slam a million of them.
A pierogi might be one of the best foods ever. Pierogies are fantastic.
Yeah, the pierogi, you're like Peking Ravs. They're very similar, and they're both delightful.
Pierogies are, like, if you ever find that the, you know, let's say the, you know, one of your local sports teams is on the road in Cleveland, the best reason to go, aside from the fact that it's not a long trip and it's a reasonably affordable city, just go, just, that's all they eat. They eat so well in Cleveland, mostly because in the Midwest, pierogies are available on a regular basis. I think pierogies are like the most, maybe the most underrated finger food in America. They're so damn good.
They're so tasty.
And why don't we stuff more things with caramelized onions? I think these are the questions that people demand answered the day after the 4th of July.
It's crazy. I've never been a big onions guy. Unless you caramelize them, then I'm all in. Like, I can't, like, raw onion, take it or leave it. It's fine. Whatever. Like, if it's on something, like on a sandwich or something, fine, I'll eat it, but it's not my favorite. I won't go find them. But caramelized onions, add it to everything. I'm so in.
And did you know that the most popular kind of pierogi in America right now, the most popular kind of pierogi
beef
in
and
North
onion?
America and Poland is the Ruski pierogi.
Ruski? What's that?
Yes, I have no idea.
Okay.
Let's see. It's ground meat, mushrooms, and cabbage.
Interesting. I'm a big cabbage guy. I like that. I'm into that.
A huge, huge cabbage guy over here as well. Had no idea we were going to end up discussing pierogies, but I think
I could talk. Like I said, I could talk bread filled meat products or meat filled bread products for hours.
Okay, then I'm going to have to ask you this before we go to break. Have you ever heard of a runza?
A runza? No. What is this?
You have okay. So it's a popular restaurant chain. Once again. Things that fly over country to the coastal elites.
I think you've mentioned this to me before.
We did. I think we discussed this once.
Is this like a sub shop place almost?
When it was you and me and Keith in the mid days, and I mean it was called Dale and Keith with Fitzy, but it was basically, you know, it was what it was. We one time
Dale
randomly,
here.
Thank you, Dale. Happy fourth, happy fifth, Dale. We were discussing like popular regional fast food places.
Yeah. Yep.
The Runza came up and I was like,
talk to me, daddy.
Okay.
These look awesome.
It's the, somebody like every kind of regional food from around America and around the world has opened up as a boutique shop in New York or Boston or Philadelphia. How come nobody has brought the Runza to the Northeast? So a Runza is basically as it is described. Let's see. Is it a Nebraska thing?
I'm sending a picture of it to Brian so he can put it up on our Twitch. But it is a yeast dough bread pocket with a filling consisting of beef, cabbage, or sauerkraut, onions, and seasoning.
Can be baked into various shapes, such as a half moon, a rectangle, a bun, a square, a triangle. Yeah, apparently this is what everybody eats in the Midwest.
Yeah, this is like the greatest thing on the planet. And this is so Midwest it hurts. Like it's just bread and meat and a couple veggies incorporated into the meat. It's a German
steak. Right now on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI if you need to have an 8 a.m. food gasm.
It's a German steak and cheese.
Yes, it's exactly
that's exactly what it is. It's a German steak and cheese.
Oh my god. It
sounds delightful.
It's basically if a steak and cheese in a pierogi had a one night affair, and then and then 9 months later out came the Runza.
Yes.
Oh my god.
That may give me the Runza, but I would 100%.
It was me who avoided the obvious joke the entire time, and you had to go there right
damn
before
right.
break.
Always. All right.
You know what? Apologize for nothing, because you're filling in for the Greg Hill Show on EEI.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at New Balance mindfulness.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.